Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Shadows on the Wall, story number one. When I was a kid, I started seeing something odd. My bedroom was the connecting junction of our house, with three doors leading out of it. Two sliding doors, one directly in front of my bed, led to the kitchen, and the other off to the left, leading to a hallway that passed the bathroom and ended at my sister's bedroom at the front of the house. There was another door to the right of my bed. That was a normal hinged door leading to my parents' bedroom. It was an addition they'd made to the house a couple of years after we moved there in the sticks apart from the town I was born in. One night, I think I was about 9 or 10 years old, I was laying in my bed trying to get to sleep. I was watching this crack of light on the edge of the sliding door in front of my bed, created by the kitchen's light fixture on the other side of the door. It was a badly designed sliding door that wouldn't completely shut to block out the light. I could hear my mother cleaning the dishes in the kitchen on the other side. I was bored and noticed that if I inclined my head from side to side, that there was something blocking the light, making that crack of light grow shorter and longer as I moved my head. As bored as I was, not being able to sleep, I entertained myself with this for a while, until something in the back of my mind set me on alert. Something seemed odd about this crack of light, or more accurately, what was blocking it. I kept moving my head back and forth, following the movement of the light to get the outline of whatever this obstruction was. After a few minutes, I realized that it was the outline of a human head and shoulders, seemingly male, about 5 feet tall. Needless to say, this freaked me out to no end. I was paralyzed with fear for a few minutes. I finally summoned the courage to frantically yell for my mother to open the door. When she did, there was, of course, absolutely nothing there on either side to block the light to the door. When I told her what I'd seen, she'd said I'd been asleep and dreamt it, though I knew that wasn't true because there was no waking up, no interruption between seeing it and calling for her. I didn't see it again until the same time of the next year, and that time I wasn't as frightened of it. It didn't appear to move at all, just stood there still as a stone. Over the next 4 years or so, I saw it every year at about the same time. I believe it was always sometime in the fall until all of a sudden it stopped appearing. This next began when I was around 13 or 14. Me and my cousin Mark began seeing this black cat. It was always hanging around in our peripheral vision. And when we tried to catch a better glimpse of it, this cat would dart behind some obstruction it always would be near, like a dresser or bookshelf. We saw it over the course of about 2 years, usually about once or twice a month, sometimes as often and once a week, but never got a really good look at it until Mark somehow caught it off guard and saw it full on. It was looking at him, and he saw that it had bright red eyes. When it suddenly realized that it had locked vision with him, it ran off. After this, we didn't see it as often, and a while later, we stopped seeing it at all. For years, I didn't see that cat and had all but forgotten it. Then about 3 or 4 years ago, it popped up again. It was up to its usual tricks, hanging out in my peripheral vision until I looked over to see it better and then darting behind some obstruction. Over the course of the next year, though I saw it slowly change, it went from the black cat to a human outline over the course of just a little under a year. Now I still see it, but the frequency varies. Sometimes it's only once a month, sometimes it's 5 times in 1 day. It always appears in my peripheral vision, watching me, and vanishes as soon as I jerk my head in its direction to get a look at it. As to who or what it is, that still remains a mystery. Story number two. First, I need to explain that as a child, I used to sleepwalk on a pretty regular basis. I say this now to explain the reaction of my brother, which we'll get to in a moment. I also want to state that when I sleepwalk as a child, I could pretty much remember doing it. I was in a dreamlike state of confusion, but nevertheless, I could remember things that I had done while sleepwalking. The last time I can remember sleepwalking was when I was around 12, and I was about 16 when this event happened. Now, let's get on with the story. It was about 1981 when my family purchased this house in Greenville, South Carolina, and I lived in the house with my father, mother, older and younger brothers, and my aunt. Right away after moving in, both my aunt and I began to have strange feelings about the house, but no one else seemed to share our feelings. Something just didn't seem right. It felt as if someone was always watching you. It wasn't long before my aunt started complaining about things being moved around in her room while she was gone, and I had a couple of scary experiences while alone in the house in which I heard footsteps. The big event I'm about to describe happened in the bedroom that I shared with my older brother, who is 4 years older than me. I remember that night. I was awakened by my brother. I could hear him telling me to get back in bed, that I was sleepwalking. Here's where it differs from what I said before. When I used to sleepwalk, I could remember things, but now it was almost like I was coming to after passing out. When I heard his voice, as far as I knew, I was still in bed. And here's the weird thing. I could hear myself talking. I can't recall what I was saying, but like I said, I could hear myself quietly talking. As my brother kept telling me to get back in bed, I finally became awake and discovered that I was standing at the foot of my bed, and about 1 or 2 feet in front of me was a pitch black figure. I didn't understand what I was looking at, so I looked over at my brother, who was still in bed, and he was still telling me to get back into bed. I looked back at the figure and could see no detailed features, but could see arms and legs and tell that it was the shape of a man. I know some people have said they could smell an odor, but there was no odor that I can remember. I remember thinking that I must be dreaming. I climbed back into bed and looked back down at the foot of my bed, and it was still there. I told myself again that I must be dreaming, and I went to sleep. The next morning, I didn't think much about it. I remembered it, but thought that it had all been a dream. I wasn't even going to mention it to anyone. But while at the breakfast table, my brother asked me if I remembered anything from the night before. I told him that I did remember him telling me to get back in bed, and that I could have sworn that I'd seen a black figure standing in front of me. Well, my brother pretty much turned about 2 shades paler than usual, as he revealed that he too had seen the black figure. The funny thing is that even after my brother said he had seen it too, I was never scared, and in fact, don't even think about the incident, maybe for several years. Now I think about it a lot. And the thing that bothers me the most is that I was apparently talking to it when my brother woke me up. I have no idea what I would have been speaking to it and why it would have wanted to speak to me. If my brother had not woken me up, I would have had this whole conversation with this thing while unconscious and may not have ever known what happened. In fact, who's to say that it didn't happen other times that I was not aware of? This really bothers me. I need to know what I was saying to it and what it wanted from me. But I guess just something I will never know. Story number 3. I've been seeing a dark man as long as I can remember. Several times as a child, I would wake up in the middle of the night and see him standing at the window over my bed. He is a tall man and dressy kind of clothes, and his features are visible in outline but are incredibly dark, darker than it seems is natural, and he always has red eyes. I've had recurring dreams of him throughout my life, and every time he appears, within a few days, something bad happens to me or people around me, ranging from car accidents to loved ones dying. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, I served a mission in the Wind River Indian Reservation area of Wyoming. It was in Wyoming that the worst experience came. There were 10 of us missionaries in the area, and about 5 of us realized while talking one day that we had all seen shadow men at various times in our lives. Shortly after we had talked about our shared experiences, strange things started to occur. One by one, all of our apartments were broken into and a personal item taken. I returned home one night, and our 2 neighbor kids came running over to my roommate and myself. They said they had come down just after sunset, expecting us to be home, and found our door open. We always locked our door. The girl, who was about 8, said she peered inside and saw a tall, dark man standing in our living room, looking through something on the table. Her brother looked inside when he saw his sister staring. He saw the man and yelled. The man turned to look at them, and they said they saw his red eyes. He hissed at them and ran from the room. They ran upstairs and came down later to warn us. When I walked inside, I looked on the table where they saw him standing. The day before, my parents had sent me pictures from home. Now they were spread out across the table, and one of my parents was missing. My roommate found he was missing a favorite t-shirt. Over the next 2 weeks, something disappeared from every one of us. Our apartments, though locked, were broken into. We were all gathered in the nearby town for a conference a few weeks later and were up late. The only girls amongst us called just after midnight to say that someone had been walking around their house, tapping on the windows, talking and laughing. The rest of us drove over there to make sure they were okay. They lived in an old house situated on a big lot, surrounded by a tall privacy fence. When we arrived, 2 guys ran from the house, and the rest of us ran into the yard. We all saw a separate shadow figure and ran in different directions. One by one, each of them disappeared in front of us, all except what we later thought was the real one. He was running from a friend of mine who chased him to the edge of the yard. He said he then saw the man leap over the fence without his feet or hands touching the boards. When we regrouped in the backyard, we heard laughter coming from the alleyway. We went out into the alley and walked around to where my friend saw the man go over the fence. On the other side of the alley was another property, also with a fence. From the other side, about 15 feet into the property, was a big tree, and this is where we heard the laughter. As we watched, the limbs began to shake and move as if someone were standing on them and bouncing up and down. While we were standing there, the laughter stopped. We distinctly heard something drop to the ground and come running for the fence at full speed. That, I'm afraid, is when our courage failed, and we all turned and ran back to the house as fast as we could. Once inside, we posted someone at every door and in every room and waited for the sun to come up, praying the entire time. Though the man, after that, left us alone, we heard many strange stories from people on the reservation for the next few months of strange people traveling across the land. One of the tribal elders told us a skinwalker had been spotted and that we must be careful when out after dark. A family said a group of dark beings attacked their mobile home, rocking it back and forth on its frame and pounding on the doors and windows until just before morning. Dark men were spotted by the sides of road and walking through fields. The more people talked about it, the more experiences we heard about. I guess maybe the area has a concentrated supply of shadow people. I know it sounds weird, but from time to time, I still think we were all crazy or dreamed the whole thing. But in reality, I know that it is all true. Every word of it. Story number 4. Well, do I have a story for you? And believe me, it's true. Although I can't give out the names of the people that were there that night, I can tell you that the 3 of us work for a police department. It happened about 3 years ago, probably late May, early June. We, which includes myself and 2 other officers, were doing a routine building lockdown. All of us were on the 3rd floor, building name not given for security reasons. Myself and 1 officer was on the west wing and the other officer was on the east wing. Myself and the officer were finished with our section of the building, so we decided to sit down and wait for the officer that was on the east wing to finish. A short time later, the officer we were waiting for arrived and he was not happy. He went about yelling at us for going in behind him and turning lights on when he had just turned them off and vice versa. We just looked at him as if he was crazy. We both told him that we were at the west wing of the building waiting on him to finish. He didn't believe us. At that time, he received a call over his walkie and left. Me and the other officer decided that we were going downstairs to the basement and take a lunch break. So we headed off to the south elevators when someone or something turned on the light behind us. We both turned around and saw a shadow run across the hallway. In the area we were in, there 7 doors, all which were closed. We heard no doors open or close. No footsteps, even though the shadows we saw were running. We did a quick check of the immediate area and called dispatch to give us any alarms that they received in our general area. No alarms. At that time, the third officer came back on the walkie, advising us that the lights on the east wing were back on. After an hour later of doing another building check, we found no people in the area, but we did find lights on where they should have been off. Later that night, really early morning, as we were going off shift, I looked at the officer who was with me and asked him, "Did you see what I saw?" He answered, "Depends." I said, "The shadow running across the hall." He answered, "Yep." Neither he nor I have ever seen the shadow since that summer night, but it doesn't mean we haven't stopped thinking or looking for it. Story number 5. I've had my share of ghost sightings, including a couple of shadow people, one of which was probably before I had even heard of ghosts. As a small child, 3 or 4 years old, I slept with my parents just about every night. The street light out front illuminated the hallway visible from the bed. Being an only child, I would guess I was more than willing to accept any playmate. For more nights than I can remember, it has been 35 years, I would wake up and find my friend waiting for me in the hall. He appeared to be the shadow of a young boy, older than me at the time, and very clearly defined in the streetlight on the hallway wall. I would wave to him, and he would wave back. Sometimes he would play with an unseen ball. On some occasions, he would be accompanied by a shadow dog like himself. On the few times I woke my parents to see him, he would slide into the shadows in the corner. Of course, they thought I was dreaming or imagining things. It was many years before I put 2 and 2 together and realized what I had seen. Ghosts were supposed to be white sheets like Casper, right? We moved out of that house by the time I was 5 to what turned out to be an even more haunted house 3 blocks away. Much later on, I heard from an elderly woman neighbor that a boy had been killed by a car on that street years before, but she didn't know just where or about the dog. I never felt any malevolence from him. He just seemed to be a lonely little boy. Aside from the way he would hide or disappear into the shadows, I'm not even sure he was aware of his condition. The other shadows I encountered were a different breed altogether. I mentioned earlier that we moved to another haunted house. I lived there over 20 years and saw a lot of weird stuff and a lot of different ghosts, mostly benign and some almost family in a strange way. These guys, there were always 3, never caused any problems, but you could just tell they were bad news. It was a 2-story house, and they would start at the top and walk the stairs to the basement and disappear. Don't know where they came from or where they were going. They were always happily just passing through. The few times I saw them, they were like 3 black translucent sheets, almost like smoke, but more defined. Not touching the floor, sometimes you could see and hear them walking, sometimes not. More often, you could just hear them. It was actually worse when they appeared silently because they startled you more. I don't know if they were so much evil, but they had sinister down good. When they were on the stairs, they would make the stairs and the floors creak as they passed over, almost like footsteps. But sometimes you would see them, but no sound at all. Or you would hear and feel them, but not see them. The house was sort of like a corkscrew. Starting at the top, you had 6 stairs, then a landing, then turn right down a longer flight to the living room, make another right across the room, make another right through an arched door into the dining room, another right through the kitchen to the basement. Stairs, 5 steps down to a landing, directly under the one upstairs. Right turn on down to the basement. It took a couple of minutes and you could hear them all the way down from the basement. You can imagine what it was like being at the bottom of those stairs knowing there was nobody home but would have to pass them on the stairs to get to the back door at the landing. Happily, they always disappeared at the bottom of the stairs. I never figured out who they were. I wasn't about to stop them and ask, but I was told once that the house was possibly some sort of gathering place or way station because of the way it was built. All I know is that there were a lot of spirits there. Some I saw quite often, some only once or twice. If these guys were like conductors, they only went in one direction, which was down. I haven't lived in that house since 1987, but I recently rode by and happened to meet the current owner outside doing some yard work. I introduced myself and talked for a few minutes, then told him I had a weird question for him before I could even ask it. He gave me a funny smile and said, "Yeah, they're still here." Turns out he was familiar with most of the ones I mentioned. I told him to tell them hello for me. Story number 6. There have been 2 instances in my life when I was subjected to really strange phenomena. The first time happened when I lived overseas in the United Arab Emirates. I was 11 years old and playing with my dog. For some reason, my parents were not there. Anyway, I was chasing Mike around the house, and as I was running through the kitchen, I caught a glimpse of an old Arab sitting at the breakfast table. It happened really fast and left me wondering if I actually saw what I thought I saw. The second incident occurred during my adolescence for a period of time while we lived in the Netherlands. I had a man that would visit me at night when I got ready for bed. He was tall and unnaturally lanky. He was a shadowy, blurry figure without a face. He was mostly shadow, but after a while I could make out that he wore a tight-fitting striped rugby shirt and trousers that looked like they were styled from the 40s. No, it was not Freddy, but he did have a similar attire. Scratch the hat and the claws. Anyway, I saw him over a period of about a year. He would stand right at the foot of my bed and look at me. Sometimes he crouched in the far corner of the room, huddling his knees to his chest, but other times he stood in the hallway or by my bedside, bent at the hip at a 90-degree angle, staring directly at me. Finally, he would hover about a foot above me, kind of like the scene in Ghostbusters, but a little more creepier than that. Several times, I tried to tackle him. Once, when he stood at the foot of my bed, I gathered my blanket and tried to surprise him by attempting to wrap him up in it unexpectedly. I got a few inches from him, almost nose to nose, when he sort of just faded. After a while, I told my mother about him and described what he looked like and what he did. She visibly paled and told me that she would see the same man for years and hide her face in my dad's side when she saw him, and he still visited from time to time. She also said that my aunt and great aunt had seen him. I thought this was odd because I appeared to be the only male on my mother's side to have seen him, but this has been years ago and I no longer see or feel his presence. As I said before, I've experienced many strange things in my childhood and lived in a haunted house as well, but I no longer am visited or bothered by such things, although I can still walk into a house and feel if something is not right about it. Story number 7. I want to share some of my experiences, as well as my theories, on apparition-related phenomena. My journey into the realm of the unusual began a few months ago, when I took a Reiki class. If you're unfamiliar with it, it is a form of energy healing that is widely practiced these days. The instructor did an exercise where she opened up our chakras and informed us that it may increase our psychic sensitivity. I thought nothing of it at the time. Then a few nights later, I awoke to incoherent babbling, seemingly right next to my ear, and what felt like a 40-pound weight resting on my chest. I shot up and gasped for breath. It seemed as if I hadn't taken a breath for maybe 20 or 30 seconds. As I looked to the left of my bed, I saw a brownish-black amorphous apparition moving away, which then went through the wall and disappeared. I was very shaken and didn't sleep for most of that night. A psychiatrist would say that what I experienced was a dream-induced hallucination, along with regaining consciousness while sleep paralysis was still in effect. I disagree. I've experienced awareness during paralysis before, and I was perfectly capable of breathing, and there were never any hallucinations. There was also a very distinct feeling of another being in the room when this last incident happened. In my opinion, the trance is a scientist's way of describing a potentially real phenomena that doesn't fit into their belief system. Since that first incident, things are not the same for me anymore. I frequently have the feeling that something is in the room with me when alone in my house. I also frequently, almost nightly, find myself suddenly wide awake with a feeling that something is watching me from the opening of my closet. I know that sounds like something a toddler would tell his mother, but the fact is I haven't been afraid of the dark since I was 6 or 7 years old. Thinking back, I had similar experiences when I was a young child, but now they're not so much frightening as just plain strange, with the exception of my apparition experience. It can even be a little annoying sometimes. It's bad enough when someone is staring at you at all, but much worse when you can't even see them. Story number 8. In school, I was having a pretty boring day. It was Friday. I went to my first hour class. During PE, I wasn't the only one on my side of the lockers. We didn't even do anything. The teacher was absent. In second hour, I found no work to file. So far, for a lucky break. In third hour, I could have sworn someone was in the doorway. People are always passing through the door, though. In fourth hour, I failed my test. So did 90% of the class. Lunch was fine, but recess, I felt tired. In the sixth hour, a project was assigned. This day started to get bad. In the last class of the day, I found a note under the desk. "The shadow is watching," was written in big black letters. The bottom was signed, "Mystery Freak." Saturday and Sunday, I did nothing but sit around the house. On Monday, I was assigned my research report. I got Pickett's charge. I had another boring day of nothing to do and be tired. After school, no one was home. I started my project in the computer room. On my right is a hallway to the family room. In the hallway, I saw a dark shadow. When I looked, it disappeared. While I was rethinking what I saw, a bright, whitish flash shined in my eyes. I was terrified. A dark figure walked out of the light and disappeared. He was blurry from the light. I ran out of the room and went outside. I waited for my parents to come home. In this half an hour, I was armed to the teeth. I had a butcher's knife, a pocket knife, and an 8-inch long knife. After my encounter, I was out of breath. On Tuesday, it happened again. I was on the internet looking for an answer to what it was. My dad mentioned shadow people over dinner. In my computer screen was a reflection of a shadow person in the hallway. When I looked, nothing was there, but in my screen, it was there. When I returned to the screen, he was raising a hand to his head. I was petrified with fear. He disappeared soon after the white light flashed its wild flash. I only saw the light for a second, but was able to measure it at a foot long. Thanks to my printer, I saw another dark silhouette walk out of light. He glimpsed at me before disappearing. He also was blurry. I was so tired, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I fell asleep shortly after. I didn't see any others for a while. On Wednesday and Thursday, I did nothing. There was no school from Wednesday to Friday. I took naps for at least 3 hours, 2 times a day. I didn't return to the computer room till Friday. On Friday, I saw them more clearly. I was on eBay. I noticed a woman in the corner of my eye. She raised a finger to her mouth. She had eyes of soft yellow. When she vanished, the wild blinding light flashed 3 times at rapid speed. 3 5-foot-tall shadow people walked out and disappeared in a single file line. They too were blurry. Then I calmed my fear, and after I relaxed, the 3 shadow men and the 1 shadow woman reflected in the screen. I was shot with a rush of fear. Those yellow eyes winked and vanished. I made it to the couch and slept for 14 hours. I have my very own theory of why shadow people hang out by people. I believe shadow people manifest off of human energy. It would explain them telling me to remain quiet, seeming to rest, and the tired after feeling that I got. In the gap between Tuesday and Friday, when my brother and parents were using the computer, they never saw any of them. I believe they were testing me for the portal of white light. In other words, seeing how much I could handle. Story number 9. I never really had any paranormal experiences. That was until about a few years ago. I was in my late teens and my mother had decided to leave the apartment I grew up in to another part of the Bronx, New York. After we moved into our new place, I immediately sensed something was there. The first few years, though, I never saw anything. That was until I got my first computer. That's when I started to see my shadow girl. My computer is set up next to a window in the kitchen, and I usually can be found there on my days off, writing away furiously during the wee hours. I usually would write with the lights on, as I would have a ton of written material around me to reference from. Things went fine the first few months until my first encounter. I was wrapping up an issue of a comic when I saw a small black shadow mist-like figure at the corner of my eye, literally a few feet from where I was sitting. I turned to look, but then nothing was there. Now, I'm not the type of guy who usually gets freaked out, but my ass went straight to bed afterwards. There was no denying that I saw something, but after a few more encounters, I started to really get a hold of what or who it was. At first, I kept my encounters with this shadow being, until one fateful night when I wasn't the only person to see it. My then girlfriend at the time was hogging up the computer and I decided to watch some TV. Later that night, she got really freaked out by something. When she told me what she saw, I realized she saw my shadow person too. I felt a bit joyous, though the incident kept her away from my place during the nighttime hours since it happened. Anyway, I began to get used to seeing the figure, at times even seeing it pass by the kitchen doorway. I began to label my shadow person Shadow Girl because I felt a female presence about it, and it seemed to have a childlike curiosity over what I was writing. Most of the time, she showed up looking over my shoulder. Incidentally, the comic I was writing about involved ghosts. Not that I wanted her to go away. I started to write by candlelight, using those religious kinds. Since I started using those, she no longer shows up. Though I kind of miss her. I know she's still around. There has been some unexplained countertop knocking in my kitchen for the past 9 months. Everyone in the apartment has heard it, yet we can't find out where it's coming from. It only happens when no one is in there, and it sounds like a cup being placed on the countertop by someone. Maybe it's my shadow girl angry with me?